25-783CR, United States of America v. Victor Cavallo. Good morning, Mr. Lee.
Good morning, may please the court. Yeon Chun Lee, Federal Defenders for Appellant Victor Cavallo. We're here for another installment of the sentencing tail wags the offense dog. The government secured an indictment and a guilty plea from Mr. Cavallo for possessing ammunition. And then at the time of sentencing, asked the judge to punish him as he tried to commit first-degree murder. And it did so, of course, not by actually presenting a first-degree murder kind of prosecution.
Well, right, but we had a video, and the judge has to make factual findings, and he's allowed to. In fact, he's required to make factual findings.
Yes, Your Honor.
So I take it that your complaint here is that the factual findings were clearly erroneous, right?
Well, you know, we could dispute the, we don't need to get into standard review. Our view is that under any standard review, clear error or abuse of discretion.
Okay. Let's say de novo, the most deferential.
Right, so our
view. That's the beef, right?
That's right.
Is that there's not enough evidence that your client was trying to kill anybody in a premeditated way. The people he got out of the car and started shooting at, he wasn't trying to kill them in a premeditated way?
That's right. So the principal dispute we raise, right? So, you know, there are two different cross-references. It could be an attempt to second-degree murder and an attempt to first-degree murder.
Right, the and judge it's much higher if
that's right. So the judge found attempt to first-degree murder.
So just answer me this. Who waits at a green light, loitering at a green light, period? Unless they're maybe just idly checking their phone.
But well, there you
the
go,
evidence
Your Honor.
Is that he stops.
Well, there you go, Your Honor.
That's
one possibility.
Well, right, but what are the odds then? It seems preposterously high that he just happened, for example, to be idling at the green light, looking at his phone, and when he finally looks up and sees it's green, instead of going, he says, let me get out of the car and fire shots into the car behind me.
So, Your Honor,
if that's your counter-argument, you're hypothesizing he was distracted.
No, I'm
that
not.
That seems.
I understand you. So let's just, the framework is that the government bears the burden of proof, right? Because of their attempt to just to basically treat him as a first-degree murderer through sentencing, it's a lower standard of proof. I get that. But still, preponderance is it's more likely than not. This video on its face, okay, doesn't select out a premeditated killing, a shooting, as opposed to an impulsive or reactive shooting.
What is the, what so, do we
so
do
that's
about
the difference.
Fact that he had a gun with him?
I'm sorry,
brought a gun to the scene.
So this is a kind of an odd twist of this case. Usually it's a bad fact that, as the government said, Mr. Cavallo is regularly armed. That's the government's quote. That's usually a bad fact for clients, right? But in this case, the fact that he had a gun is not a selector. That you know, he had a gun two different occasions, I think, within this incident. And so the government says he's regularly armed. And so the fact that he's armed is not like, you know, I'm not regularly armed. So if
but
I brought
then,
the
but
gun
then
to a scene.
Finding himself conveniently armed, let's say he drives by, he sees the gray Audi, and he thinks, oh, those are the people, I don't know, fill in the blank, I hate. And then he, I hate.
Yes.
And then he pulls up ahead, and it shows that he waits at a green light, waits for them to pull out, and then he comes out and starts shooting them. Isn't the waiting evidence of premeditation, that he was waiting for an opportunity? Because you can wait and premeditate for a year.
Sure.
You could be chewing on this, or you could be waiting and premeditating for some other shorter period
sure.
of time.
Respect
but if
me
you on. Lie and wait, which is what...
Yes, it's actually in the statute. Lying and wait is a way of committing first degree
murder. I mean, if you lie and wait, you pull up to the green, you wait for the car to pull out, you're also blocking the intersection so that if they do pull out, you know, the lane is blocked.
Yes, Your Honor.
Why is that lying in wait not enough for the court
so,
to conclude
so respectfully,
that there was premeditation? He was thinking about this. He was thinking, I can't wait for them to pull up behind me.
Respectfully, Your Honor, you know, there's a lot of speculation in there about what's happening. To use the word wait is to assume the conclusion. It's a form of circular reasoning. We don't know.
But there's a green light.
There's,
that,
Your Honor,
that's
Your Honor,
strong evidence that he was waiting, because when one sees a green light, one goes.
Your Honor,
and if someone is doing something very unusual and atypical, which is not going at a green light, Why does that not allow a rational inference that the person was purposely not going and
so
waiting?
There are reasons. Look, let's say that it's not, you know, you drive around New York, people are stopped at the light sometimes, they're distracted, there's phones, maybe they're asleep, whatever else, okay? There's a lot of possibilities for that. Until the, if you just look at the video, again, that's all we have. No backstory. We don't know who these people are, why this.
Well,
if you look at the video.
We do have something more. Didn't the district court make a fact finding that there was coordination between the defendant and individual one?
Respectfully, no, Your Honor. That's not what the district court. So this is actually exactly right. So
the district court did not rely on that fact in finding premeditation, but it found that as a fact.
It did. So well, this is where we have to be a little bit careful here, right? What the district court specifically found was that there was no prior communication. The government had tried to create a narrative that there was a phone call before the shooting, that like this was like a real setup hit. The district court rejected that finding because the government didn't produce any phone records. We don't know who anybody was on the phone for. All the district court found was that, and again, you know, I'm not going to stand here and say that they don't.
The district court found that they knew each other.
They knew each other.
Okay, but
there's still a big leap between knowing each other and contemplating cold-blooded murder.
No, I agree, but the question is at what point? So we have the fact that he had an arm, that
yes.
He was armed. We had the fact that he waited. The fact that he exited and drew his gun almost immediately.
Yes.
We have Mulder saying the fact that he kept shooting after being shot is also evidence of premeditation. And we had individual one.
Yes.
And the fact that they knew each other.
Yes, sir.
The question for me is not just did he wait at the green light, which is, you know, pretty powerful. But what do we do about all of those things together?
Your Honor, I would say like once again that none of these facts select out. The only dispute that we're having here is whether it's a premeditated murder or an impulsive or reactive
murder. Okay, well, let me focus on that. I mean, premeditation, famously, is a virtually non-existent standard, right? Judge Cardozo,
yes.
He was on the New York Court of Appeals, said no time is too short for an evil man to premeditate. How long do you have to premeditate? Suppose we take your theory,
yeah.
Which I take to be your theory, that what may have happened here is that he's paying attention to his phone, he's not paying attention to the light turns green, he's still sitting there playing with his phone, he hears the guy behind him honk his horn, and now he's mad, and he gets out of the car and decides what he's going to do is shoot the people in the car behind him.
Yes.
How long does he have to think about it for it to be premeditation?
Premeditation does not, a very short, it's not a matter of time, Your Honor.
Exactly.
It's not a matter of time, but nonetheless, Your Honor, Justice Cardozo, as Your Honor pointed out in Jackson, said the distinction is hard, it's two things are hard to distinguish between intent to kill
yes.
and premeditation, but they still exist under the law, right?
Yes, but how, so what is it that distinguishes, why couldn't a court perfectly well find that in the time between hearing the horn honk and getting out of the car, and instead of going and yelling at a person or punching them or something like that, he takes his gun out and decides that what he's going to do is kill them?
Your Honor,
is that not enough to be premeditation?
Your Honor, you know, outside of this courtroom, it's a good guess. We're in this court of law. And the finding has to be by preponderance.
Well, a good
it's speculation.
Guess
nothing.
Otherwise known as a reasonable inference that more likely than not.
Well, this is our dispute, Your Honor. Our dispute is not more likely than not. That the government has to prove that if you just look at the video, okay, so if you slice it up, I would give you two ways to think about this and all the evidence. That if you stop the video at the point before he gets out, there's no one anybody can predict what's going to happen, right? All the facts are entirely consistent with one another. And then we continue the video and look at everything else, stop and everything else. I still maintain at that point, we still don't know that he had this moment of reflection that he thought about cold-blooded murder, got out and started shooting. Again, that's one possibility.
Where that goes. I mean, if he had been in his house and the video didn't capture him in the house and he had secretly been having a conversation with six co-conspirators about how I have waited a year for this moment to come kill the people in the gray alley, and out comes. We would still be in the situation you're describing where, you know, we don't know what was going on in the first part. Just we don't know what's going on in the house. We don't know what's going on in the gray alley. All we know is he came out and shot them. That I don't understand how that gets us anywhere, because the fact is we do have him in the car waiting at the green light, and we do know what he did afterwards, which usually someone intends what they do. So if we had only him sitting in the car, you know, 9 million people are probably every day sitting in a car in New York and they're not planning to kill someone. But this guy got out, walked towards the car, started opening fire, gets hit, and still keeps shooting.
Again,
why is that not the great window into what was going on to in his mind?
Again,
what he
Your
wanted
Honor,
to do.
Again, Your Honor, there are other possibilities besides a premeditated killing. And it's the video itself is just doesn't tell you that maybe, look, whether he was asleep at the wheel and then got out and just started shooting, or whether, you know,
well,
whether he
the
knew the people, he got
what,
panicked and reacted.
Maybe then maybe the issue is you need to explain to us what you think preponderance of evidence
preponderance
means
of the evidence, as we said, is more likely than not. And our submission, again, we're not saying that, that other aspect, that this is a terrible thing that happened, that he shot, okay, and that he should be punished for this. All I'm saying is that this is not first-degree murder, the most grievous offense under federal law.
You only got 8 years.
You're
I mean, that's actually kind of, I have to say, when you really widen the lens here, I think it's amazing for him. He only got 8 years for pumping this car full of bullets. And granted, he didn't kill anybody, but sounds to me like he got off pretty easy here in the grand scheme of things. So why don't we hear from the government? You've reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court. My name is Megan Larkin, appearing on behalf of the United States. The district court did not err in applying the sentencing enhancement for attempted first-degree murder based on her finding that the appellant's shooting was premeditated. There was ample evidence to support the district court's finding of premeditation.
Can you tell me what you think the strongest fact is?
To answer clearly, I'll say that I think waiting at the green light for 30 seconds is the strongest fact, but I do want to address, there are three instances where we can see premeditation, where we can see that reflection. And it's not just waiting at that green light for 30 seconds. There was reference to if we stopped the video at the point before he got out of the car, what do we see? And at the beginning of the video, if you look at the very beginning, you see the appellant pull up in the SUV at the corner of 41st Street and 35th Avenue, and you see him waiting there for about 40 seconds before even turning down 35th Avenue as the victims in the Audi go down to the Audi. So there's a 40-second span there that we haven't even addressed. You have that, you have the 40 seconds at the beginning of the video, you have the 30 seconds at the green light, and then frankly, as Your Honor noted, you have the continuing to fire. He gets out of the car within a second. He pulls the trigger. And then
so is that for the intent? Do you think that does more work for the intent to kill, or whether or not it does more work for premeditation?
I think that to answer your question clearly, do you mean the multiple firings or yeah? So the multiple firings, I think it goes to both. Certainly, with specific intent to kill, the case law is very clear that shooting at close range multiple times is highly probative, but in this case, to see him get out of the car, continue walking, and continuing to shoot, that aligns with the premeditation case law on pausing. There are cases. I believe there's it's a U.S. Supreme Court case. It's Fisher versus United States, where the Supreme Court says, well, they affirm a jury instruction that talks about even a pause is enough time for reflection. And that's exactly what we see here. He gets out. I assume wasn't expecting that return gunfire to be hit on him. He's hit and he continues to fire. So even that walking towards the car, getting hit and continuing to fire goes to premeditation in terms of the pause and frankly the short amount of time that is needed to show that one is actually reflected on what they're doing. And so there are those three instances, I think, that we can find premeditation. And I want to talk about individual one as well. Individual one, we don't even have to think about anything that individual one did, because the appellant's actions alone are enough to show that they were deliberate. Again, based on waiting at the green light, basically stalking the victims down 35th Avenue, and then during the shooting, stopping and then continuing. But when you look at Individual One, you also see that this was coordinated. Again, Individual One was traveling down the street at the same time as the appellant was driving down on 35th Avenue. You can see that on the video. You see that he starts to walk in the opposite direction before the appellant starts shooting. Now, it's very close, and I'm sure your honors have done this, but if you go frame by frame, you can see, and this is the district court acknowledges in the Fatico hearing, you can see that Individual One turns his body and starts to walk away before the appellant even takes that first shot. It was coordinated. Everyone knew exactly what was going to happen.
Well, there's also what happens afterwards, right? Which is that the defendant gets back in his car and goes somewhere, but then winds up turning up with a different car driven by Individual One at the hospital a few moments later, all of which would seem like a remarkable coincidence that your friend, who's not only willing, it's not a good Samaritan necessarily, who is seeing this guy get shot and takes him to the hospital, there's this change of vehicle, then Individual One comes back and picks up the gun on the street. Which is sort of not what the Good Samaritan does. It says, you're shot. I'll take you to the hospital. And by the way, it's your gun. I'll go back and get that for you. That does not seem to be a spontaneous action.
That's right, Your Honor. And it was 2 minutes that he was back in his car picking up that gun. And what did we see him do to an actual Good Samaritan? He menaced him. He chases him away. It appears to me from the video that he has the gun in his hand and he points it at the gentleman who's standing at the intersection with his phone, seeing this gun in the middle of the intersection. And so again, that suggests, again, he's not a Good Samaritan.
But of course, the district court did not rely on any of the things that we've just discussed in making a finding. What do you think? Can we just supply our own fact findings based on our reading of the video and the fact finding that the district court did make that they knew each other and draw further extrapolations from that?
I don't think you need to. Mm-hmm. I think that the clearest way here is just to rely on what the district court has in her written ruling, which focuses on the appellant's actions here, with in particular the 30 seconds at the light and the walking out and continuing to shoot. However, I would say that there was some dispute in the briefing about whether it would be appropriate to think about the findings from the Fatico hearing. And I'll say that it is pretty clear that the district court's written order was focused on the specific intent issue, since that was what was really being disputed down below at the Fatico hearing. And in fact, if you look at the order, if you look at the last paragraph of the introduction and the first paragraph of the discussion, you see that the district court says that the government has proven specific intent. And it shows that. And if you look at the transcript of the Fatico hearing, you can see that she says premeditation is not really in dispute. Defense says, well, yes, we actually dispute that too. And she says, I think premeditation can be established on this record. So I think there's a bit of a combination of findings. However, I don't think you need to get there in this case, given the appellant's actions. So if there are no further questions, I'll rest on the papers. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Mr. Lee, you've reserved 2 minutes for rebuttal, if there's anything you'd like to add, but we'll keep it to 2 minutes.
Yeah, I won't waste the court's time. I just finished with your Honor's comments at the end about the 96 months. Our argument is simply that the guideline range is higher than it should have been, and that Molina Martinez says that that's a reasonable probability of a different result regardless of that. And again, our perspective is that it's only in hindsight that this entirely sort of public activity of driving down the road at a normal speed, stopping at a light, takes on a nefarious meaning of waiting, okay? It's only in retrospect that you see that. And then nothing about this video, again, it selects out a premeditated murder, a shooting, as opposed to an impulsive reactive one. And we think that any inference to premeditation to that is speculation and not a reasonable inference. But that's our position. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you very much to both sides. We appreciate your arguments today, and we will take the case under advisement. Thank you both.